Ready.
Buffalo Bills game day on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
Let's just do it, okay?
Ready.
One, two, three.
Now, here's Jeremy White and Nate Geary.
Brought to you by Northwest Bank. Make the switch to Northwest Bank and get back to living.
Anyone listening here on the Buffalo Bills pregame show, we're getting you ready for a 1 o'clock kickoff between the Bills and Lions with John Murphy and Mark Kelso. They'll call the play-by-play from the Northwest broadcast booth. Make the switch to Northwest and get back to living. I'm sitting here in this broadcast booth right now as we wait for the seventh home game of the season here at the stadium. There's today's game against the Lions and then the season finale in Week 17 against the Miami Dolphins with one more game in between, the road game in New England. So final three games of the season and second to last home game here. Weather brought to you by Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. We are two December home games in. Neither one has seen a snowflake yet. The first one last week, cold, chilly, not too bad. Today, warmer, 38 degrees. There's a chance of drizzle, the mixed precipitation they're calling for. That might mean the difference between rain and drizzle or, you know, I'm not much of a meteorologist myself. But 38 degrees is the high. Rain possible. Wind not expected to be a major factor at all today. I checked on my phone, and what I saw was winds of 5 miles per hour in that neighborhood. So you might want to, if you're coming to the game, have a layer of water protection. Maybe that's just a poncho for you. Maybe that's a jacket that's good and waterproof, just in any event that it could rain today a little bit. Not expected to be any sort of downpour, but you get the idea. So don't anticipate weather being too much of a factor here. Matt Patricia and the Lions, they practiced outdoors a couple weeks back in the snow. Perhaps maybe thinking that they might run into something like that here today, but it's not going to be the case. Looks like it'll be a reasonably nice day out here for, you know, the best you can do for December 16th. So that's your weather report. The Bills are looking like they'll be without LeSean McCoy. The report just of a little bit ago, not too long ago, Ian Rappaport, that LeSean McCoy won't be going today. So that means that you're looking at getting a first start for Keith Ford. Perhaps no McCoy, likely no McCoy, and also Chris Ivory not expected to play. McCoy game time, Ivory a shoulder injury not expected to play. That's what Ian Rappaport had 4 hours ago. So without those two, it'll look like Keith Ford and perhaps Marcus Murphy. We'll talk to Sal Capaccio about what the Bills' plans might be, how they can run their offense without their starting running back, and maybe they're, well, definitely without Ivory, their backup, and without LeSean McCoy as well. On the injuries on Detroit side, Kerryon Johnson, like this is a game between two teams that are trying to find their way in different ways. The Lions are alive for the playoffs still. They've had a bad season because their offense has kind of gone belly up, trading Golden Tate, one of their better receiving weapons, if not their best, and they do that puzzlingly, if I'm being honest, probably because he's going to be a free agent. They decide to move on, so they get what they can for him, and they've paid the price in doing so, and Tate hasn't exactly caught on in Philadelphia either. So anyway, it's one of the matchups here is Matt Patricia, former New England assistant, against Brian Daboll, former New England assistant. Patricia, the head coach of the Lions, while the Bills offensive coordinator from New England, from that Belichick coaching tree. They've known each other for quite some time, and they will match up against one another. So it'll be interesting to see if Patricia knows the Bills' offense a little bit better, or if Brian Daboll knows exactly what Matt Patricia is going to try to do to Josh Allen. So there's plenty to watch today with regard to that. Now, as we have three games left in the season, you know, I think for most fans, you've gone into all-out evaluate the quarterback mode. The Bills are not going to make the playoffs. We know that. It's not even all that big of a surprise. Allen was hurt for a while. The season had a rough patch, I think is what we'd say. The defense didn't start strong, and then once the defense got things back, the offense went, well, I'm going to use belly up once again, when they had to go to other quarterbacks. Allen has given them playmaking ability. Allen has given them a dual threat. So with three games left in the season, here's my question to you at 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. What is it that you want to see? Because I have a pretty specific one. Maybe it's not that specific, but it's a comparison. I'd like to see Josh Allen do what Sam Darnold did yesterday, which is throw for a couple of touchdowns, have a 200-plus yard day. I mean, his quarterback rating ends up being 100. That's what Sam Darnold did. They lose, and Jets fans probably aren't all that mad about that. But what I'd like to see out of Josh Allen, not just today, but for the remaining three games, I'd like to see, and I'm going to be very clear about this, I'm not going to be upset if he runs the ball. I know he can do that. I'm trying to see in the next three games the things that I'd like to see him do more of or perhaps improve on. And that means I'd like to see him be a passer today. There are a couple stats rolling around about the Lions this week and how they don't give up rushing yards to quarterbacks. It's actually, I think they're the best in the league at preventing quarterbacks from running the ball. I'm not so sure how much I can trust those stats. How many quarterbacks like Josh Allen do they play? Their division is Trubisky, Rodgers, and Kirk Cousins. And Trubisky can run a bit, but it's not like they're playing the most fleet of foot quarterbacks on a regular basis. And, you know, I could go up and down their schedule and say, well, great. They stop quarterbacks from running the ball. There aren't that many that try to run it. And there definitely aren't many that try to run it as often and can run it as effectively as Allen. So I know that's in. I know that club is in his bag. But if I'm looking for what I'd really like to see today out of Allen, out of this Bills offense, Robert Foster, Zay Jones, you know, the weapons that are still here, I'd love to see a passing game. I'd love to see pocket passing and just a general look of growth in that department. It's going to be a challenge. I understand that. Trying to get your quarterback to be comfortable in the pocket when you might not be comfortable with the pocket that you create because your line has some issues, that can be tough. But at the same time, the Bills don't have the worst offensive line in football. They're not allowing the most pressure. There are several teams that allow pressure on a higher percentage of plays. And, you know, for Allen, take off when necessary. But I guess I hope at the end of today, we can all, you know, talk about it on Buffalo Bills Football Monday and say there won't be a single call of, I feel like he ran it too much. We're 3 weeks in a row where he has done that. If he does it to win the game, that's great. I'm not going to tell you it was a problem. Just, you know, if I had my choice, what I would get or what today would be like, it would be a multiple touchdown day. It would be a 250 to 300 yard passing day. Those are the games that I think will really kind of energize people about this team and about this quarterback going forward. A great example is the Titans game. You know, the Bills beat the Titans here at New Era Field a few weeks back, well, a lot of weeks by now, and the conversation at the end was, it's great, I'm glad they won. You know, it's not exactly the kind of game I want to see from the offense because you're not going to win with 13 points all that often or 16 points or whatever. So I don't need a shootout. I don't know. I'm here to evaluate the quarterback, and that I think that pretty much that's where it begins and ends. My running backs, am I worried about Keith Ford and what he can provide today? I don't know. Is that a long-term answer? At receiver, I know they're going to need receiver. At defensive end, sure, maybe I want to see if Jerry Hughes and if the Bills have any answer in the pass rush because they've kind of dipped off a little bit in that department, at least in my opinion. You know, can they survive without Matt Milano, which is a very big loss for them? There are plenty of questions, you know, up and down the lineup, but for me, it's mostly about Allen. So I put it on Twitter. I'll ask you. I told you what I'm looking for. I'm looking for a Sam Darnold game. That's a reasonable rookie quarterback, low bar. That show me a Sam Darnold game against the Texans, by the way, who are a much better defense than this Lions team is. So I'd like to see a Sam Darnold game from yesterday, and we'll go from there. So 803-0550 to join us, to give me a call here on Buffalo Bills pregame and the Buffalo Bills radio network. You can also call, and if you just want to stress out about your fantasy team and you need to talk about your lineup with one more person before you make a final decision, I'm here for you. I am in the playoffs today, and I woke up thinking about it too. So, you know, we can all be a community of fantasy football owners in the playoffs. And anyone that says they don't want to hear about your fantasy team probably isn't in the playoffs, and they're jealous. Just remember that. 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. No Nate Gary today. He's off. And Sal Capaccio joins me at the bottom of the hour. So I asked on Twitter, what are you looking for from Allen? As specific or as vague as you'd like. I'll read you some of the responses, and you know we can go through this. I'd enjoy seeing Allen throw for over 300 yards. I don't even care if it's ugly. That's from Phil. Ed writes in, give me a loss, Ed Kilgore, where Allen looks like the better QB and they lose. Stafford is a very thanks, Ed Kilgore. Stafford's a very interesting comparison. I have at times loved Matthew Stafford, knowing he's far from perfect. He's a different version of Josh Allen. He is the big arm prototype. Just he can be when he delivers. It's like a work of art. He's like exactly how the prototype quarterback has been molded. Big, tall, big arm, stand and deliver. And Stafford has had some very, very productive years in his career. How good is he? I mean, he might be one of the hardest to separate quarterback from team success. He's got a 5,000-yard season. How many 5,000-yard seasons go nowhere? And 5,000-yard seasons are reserved for Drew Brees. And everybody would say that Drew Brees is one of the best ever. 5,000-yard seasons, Dan Marino. The list of 5,000-yard seasons in NFL history, I'll pull this up for you. Drew Brees has about half of them. But Matthew Stafford has one and missed another one by less than 100 yards. So you've got one of the more prolific passers. The other, here are your 5,000-yard season, guys. Marino, Brees, Brady, Manning, Stafford. He stands out as the only one that is not considered one of the greatest of all time. Marino, of course. I mean, here, you know, people don't exactly like him, but no one would doubt he's one of the best of all time. Brees, who has done it four times. Brady, of course, did it one time. And Peyton Manning with the Broncos. And then the one year Matthew Stafford does it, 2011, he wins the comeback player of the year. And can anybody say what the Lions did in 2011? Like, he is so interesting and difficult to separate from their successes or their failures. The Lions, they're game-breaking playmakers on defense. Who have they ever been in Stafford's time there? They lose. That's the year they lose to the Saints, by the way. They go 10-6. They go to the playoffs. They lose to the Saints. Stafford, in a loss, throws for 380 yards and loses. You know, like, I don't know what to think about Stafford anymore. Do you want Stafford to look better than, I'm sorry, Allen to look better than Matthew Stafford? If you do that today, most years, that's pretty good. This year, not so much. Stafford's 18 touchdowns and 12 picks. There's just something that's not right with Detroit for whatever reason. Last year, Matthew Stafford and the Lions with offensive coordinator Jim Bob Cooter were looking tremendous. There was a bit of a narrative that Jim Bob Cooter had figured out how to finally unlock Matthew Stafford. And, you know, for whatever reason, it kind of faltered. He had 29 touchdowns and 10 picks last year and 4,400 yards. And this year, it's just not exactly the same. And it's tough to figure why. Like, what is missing from them? Why they decide to bail on Golden Tate? They wanted to commit to more of a ground game. The Lions did. They have maybe the best ground game they've ever had with Stafford, with Kerryon Johnson. There was a crazy number. By the way, I apologize for forgetting all the stats because I see these and then we talk about them and on the morning show in Buffalo. They're the stat of the day, and we have a lot of stats of the day, and they all just kind of blend together, and I get confused and forget them. But Stafford had gone 100 games without a 100-yard rusher, maybe 9 times in his career. He had a 100-yard rusher in a game. So it's the Lions' offense has always been all Matthew Stafford. And this year, that's a little tougher. They won last week. He didn't throw a touchdown. They lost in Chicago. He didn't throw a touchdown. He's got one touchdown in the last 3 weeks, Stafford does. And that it's just, for whatever reason, Stafford is not thought of as one of the better guys. He's not thought of as one of the elite quarterbacks because I want to say because of wins and losses. So if Allen can come out today and outplay Matthew Stafford, that'd be wonderful. And chances are, if he does that, I think it means he played well. You know, this isn't exactly outplaying a guy like, I don't know, I don't want to toss like Ryan Tannehill under the bus here, but outplaying a guy that goes 10 of 25 with two interceptions. You know, a quarterback duel where you out-duel the guy is pretty good, but Stafford, he's such an interesting prospect. Sal Capaccio and Bulldog were talking about this. If you were told today that Josh Allen, in his first 10 years in the NFL, is going to throw for, an average of 4,500 yards per season and 28 touchdowns, would you take that? That's Stafford. His years 23 to 29, age, average 28 touchdowns per season and 4,500 yards. He also does turn it over, which is something that the Bills are probably counting on today, hoping to find a way to get him to turn the ball over. His pass attempts, there's another one where Stafford is just like off the charts. Those numbers have drifted back a bit. In 2012, Matthew Stafford attempts 727 passes, which, you know, we talk about it being a passing league now. The Lions and Stafford, they have been there. Since drafting this guy, they throw the ball a lot. They have him back and throwing all the time. They lose Calvin Johnson, you know, over the course of his career for whatever reason. It's been this stat monster that doesn't really produce wins. You'll probably see the stat about his record against teams with a winning record. It's not impressive, and that might be because he's always on a bad team, but he's putting up the numbers himself. So, you know, I don't want Allen to be the guy that puts up numbers on a losing team, but you'd probably start at, sure, I'll take a 4,000-yard passer who throws for 30 touchdowns. So it's a very interesting matchup, an interesting comparison. You know, we talked about this during the week, and I joked with Murph on Friday. This game today is the strongest armed quarterback game in the league. Like, with Allen and Stafford, two of the strongest, two of the best at just heaving it. And we'll see what they can do today with Josh Allen and his limited weapons and Matthew Stafford and his limited weapons. He's got Kenny Golladay. You know, he's got pieces, but not nearly as good as they used to be. 803-0550. Tweeter writes in, Stafford is kind of this generation's Drew Bledsoe. I might like that. Bledsoe had more wins. Bledsoe made a Super Bowl on his own before Brady. But that's not bad. Bledsoe, right. When Bledsoe's with the Patriots, he had a game coached by Bill Parcells where they attempted 70 passes. The Patriots, with Bledsoe, before Brady showed up, were throw it a ton. So I don't mind that. That's not a bad comparison. Scoot writes in, want to see more progression from the rookies. Pressure from Harrison Phillips, blocking from Wyatt Teller, and, of course, better throws from Allen. 803-0550 if you want to join us and get a thought in. 1-888-550-2550. Then again, maybe you've got Josh Allen on your fantasy team, in which case the running you are probably a big fan of. You get good stats if he runs the ball for 100 yards today. That'll be a nice little push to your fantasy team here in the postseason. And if there's one way to make a Bills fan, a bigger fan of Josh Allen, you know, lead the team to a fantasy playoff victory would be big. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. The Bills and Lions today, a matchup that usually is reserved for the preseason. You know, regular season history with this team, there's the laser pointer game. There's the Kyle Orton game a couple years back. And what? I'm trying to think of the last time the Lions were here. Just from memory, I'll look this up. The last time the Lions were here was 2 years ago. And wow, could I do anything to remember what happened in that game? Tyrod Taylor would have been the quarterback for the Bills in a game against the Lions here 2 years ago, and I got nothing. I'll look it up. We'll go down memory lane together. Brian writes in, I think we're hoping for to allow Josh to do would be a game plan that lets the kid loose. Throw 35 to 45 times instead of 18 to 24. The quarterbacks that are throwing for 300 yards are tossing it way more than Allen is. Almost impossible to get that many yards with as few throws as he gets, not to mention running 90% of the time in second and 10. Try to get to third and manageable is a stupid concept rather than dropping back and trying to get another first down on second down. That's a fair point. The thing about Allen's attempts, though, you know, you got to mix in the rushing attempts. If he ends up throwing the ball 29 times, but also runs the ball 9 times, I mean, how many dropbacks were there? Is he getting a comparable number of dropbacks? In the Bills' last loss to the Jets, he did throw it 36 times. In their loss at Miami, he threw it 33 times. You know, the games where he manages, Jacksonville was a 19-throw game. Tennessee, 19 throws. Houston, before he got hurt, was 17. But I do agree with the point to a point, Brian. I'd love to see them heave it. I mean, you've got no McCoy today, likely game-time decision, and no Ivory. So, sure, give me 35, give me 45 passing attempts. Evaluate the kid. Treat it as a full-speed, not quite preseason game, but a full-speed evaluation for him, and see how it goes. I think for Allen, things have gone okay so far, and people are feeling good enough. Why not a December 16th game against the Lions to feel just that little bit better? 803-0550. Sal Capaccio on the way. Hey, be sure to stay tuned following today's game for the Coach's Show. Head Coach Sean McDermott live during the Bills postgame show. It's brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Sales, service, and selection to the nth degree. That's Northtown. Buffalo Bills game day continues. Your phone calls, and Sal Capaccio joins me next here on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
It's never one spot or just one person. It's a combined situation. So there's been times where we have won the line of scrimmage and we haven't hit, whether it's LaShawn or the backs have not stayed on track. And then some of that comes from continuity as well, of just over the course of time, the chemistry that's built up between the line and the backs and the backs and the line. And but overall, we can certainly do a better job when we're trying to hand the ball off, as I mentioned the other day, to a back to run the football, somebody other than Josh, somebody other than our quarterback, and that we have to do a better job of running the football.
Bills head coach Sean McDermott. This is Buffalo Bills pregame, Buffalo Bills game day here on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Happy Sunday. Weather today brought to you by Karuba Collision. Make the right decision. Insist on Karuba Collision. Still saying that looking like it's kind of nice. Overcast, maybe some drizzle, might get some rain, so have your rain gear ready. Maybe you're a golfer. Bring your rain gear. Cold shouldn't be too bad, 38. But then again, sometimes 38 in rain is colder than 21 because of the wet chill in the air. So be prepared. Hey, by the way, holiday meats, holiday season is Federal Meat season. Let Federal Meats make your holiday stress-free and delicious. Pre-order now. All your holiday favorites like delicious deli platters and appetizers like Federal's rotisserie roasted meatballs, specialty stuffed mushrooms and stuffed banana peppers. Game day, every day, and especially at the holidays, Federal makes it special. Taste the difference fresh makes at Federal Meats. This is the Buffalo Bills Radio Network, getting ready for 1 o'clock kickoff. Today, a 1 o'clock kickoff between the Bills and Lions, proudly presented by M&T Bank, the official bank of the Buffalo Bills. My name is Jeremy White. Sal Capaccio joining me here. Sal, Sean McDermott just there saying we got to run the football better today. How much of a commitment do you think they'll make to it if they are without McCoy and Ivory? And just to catch everybody up, we've got conflicting reports from Ian Rappaport and Adam Schefter. One of them says McCoy's out, Ivory game time. The other one says, Ivory out, McCoy game time.
Yeah.
So it's looking like the Bills could very well be without both of them. Do you think that leads to less of a likelihood that Brian Daboll wants to commit to the run? I mean, you're committing to Keith Ford. You're committing to Marcus Murphy.
Yeah, but I do think that there's an element here of we need to see what these guys bring. We'd like to see Keith Ford. I want to give him some touches. I want to give him carries. Can he be a guy we can give him the ball 15 times in a game and, you know, to see what happens? So I think either way they're going to want to commit to the run, no matter who it is. This is the old cliche next man up mentality. This is the game plan. And whether we have LaShawn McCoy and or Chris Ivory or none or both or whatever, or Keith Ford and Marcus Murphy, this is the game plan. This is what you're expected to run. So I think they're going to do, no matter who's on the field, that's what they're going to do. I think where it does change is situational football. You know, third and six, do you have, is Keith Ford the pass catcher you might have, you know, instead of LaShawn McCoy, obviously, out there? Maybe you adjust some things in that regard, you know, how you want to attack personnel-wise. But I do think, and I'm kind of excited to see Keith Ford today because, you know, he had a good preseason and a good camp. At the end of the day, they made the right decision by not keeping him because Marcus Murphy earned the job. Remember how good Marcus Murphy was in preseason, Jeremy?
Yeah,
he was really good. And you know, he earned the right to make the team, but I really liked the way Keith Ford ran the ball and what he brought. And I'm excited to see him today because they have to figure out the running back position, whether that includes LaShawn McCoy or not next season and beyond him. So I think today's a day that, yes, you let Keith Ford touch the ball, you let Marcus Murphy touch the ball, you stick to your game plan. If that's what you have to do, then that's what you're going to do today and find out about these guys.
803-0550 is our phone number. I mentioned, Sal, that I am looking for something today, and I don't mean to compare him directly to Sam Darnold. I had a tweet from JP, said he doesn't want meaningless comparisons, and I understand that. What I'd like from Josh Allen today is Sam Darnold from yesterday. And that doesn't mean do exactly the same thing, and I'm going to compare him to Darnold. It's just a pocket passing game for two touchdowns and 100 quarterback rating and 250-plus yards. Like, Darnold yesterday against a tough Texans defense was pretty good.
Yeah.
And I'd kind of like to see that kind of game. Darnold goes for 24 for 38, 253, two touchdowns. That's not any sort of crazy game. But I think Jet fans come out of that one feeling pretty good. Since going zero touchdowns and four picks against the Dolphins, Darnold has played well enough, right, to get your fans kind of excited about him. His game here against the Bills wasn't incredible, but he made plays. And that's what I'm looking for Allen today, is just plays in the passing game. It's not to say the running game doesn't mean anything. I just know he can do that. And what I'm looking for is to kind of diversify what I can see from him and see some plays in the pocket. He's made some this year. So the more of those I get, not just today, but going forward, like that's the stuff that'll get me going the most.
Yeah, I hear you. I'd like to see the passing game kind of carry the day. Now, maybe that's contradictory to what we said earlier. They want to commit to the running game. That's fine. But this will be a defense. I looked at some of their numbers. They are near last in the league. They're very close to the bottom in passing yards per play given up. So I think that there are some opportunities mm-hmm. in the passing game to get some big plays. They're not a defense, I think, that is going to just all day frustrate you and make you work for everything you get. I think there's going to be some pockets where Josh Allen could take advantage of some things. You mentioned the stat earlier about not allowing quarterbacks to run that much. And maybe that's something, maybe that's not. I don't know how to read into that stat, but maybe that just means, hey, I'm going to have some opportunities to throw the ball. I want to see Josh Allen, you know, make some conscious decisions to throw the ball instead of running the ball. Now, yeah, he has to do what he has to do to win the game, and I'll be the first to tell you that. But I want to see him maybe break 250 in passing, get up there. What's his high so far? 245 against the Chargers, almost all in the second half, I think, going back to that game. But since he came back from his injury, 160, 231, 206. Give me a little bit more in the passing game. Show me that you know you can carry the day a little bit more with your arm and not just with your legs.
Right. Yeah, I mean, at the we sit here today, and he's got 5 passing touchdowns on the season. Now, he missed some time, and he's got a number of rushing touchdowns as well. He's rushed for more touchdowns than he has passed. Or is he 5-5 now? Okay, I'm sorry, he's 5-5 now. 5 passing touchdowns on the season. If he finishes out the year with 8, whatever. I know he missed time. I know the offense is limited. I know everything. I know all of the context. The other guys have also had their struggles. It's funny, every time you look at a rundown of who's doing what in the league, whether it's completion percentage or missed throws, Allen, Darnold, and Rosen are right in the same right in the same group of players. They're just sitting there, the three of them, you're like, oh, they're the rookies. Mayfield has separated himself a little bit, and Lamar Jackson's just starting to play today. He's the starter with Joe Flacco being healthy. So each of these guys has had a different road, and I think you're watching rookies. So, and Allen's had the fewest starts, right? Because Rosen went in, didn't miss any time.
Right.
Darnold went in. He missed some time, too. He had the foot injury. They've all had their own little path here. And the receivers they have on this team right now, no Kelvin Benjamin, I'm not worried about that. I think what has happened, Sal, since the offense was comatose, right? It was really in bad shape. And Allen came back, and they kind of tweaked their receiver core to get a little bit more speed. And since then, it has ticked up a little bit. Even though Sean McDermott wants to talk about how they need to run the ball, the offense has ticked up without the ability to run the ball so far.
So Thursdays, every Thursday, Sean McDermott does a little media scrum with us, which is just like, it's an informal thing, but it's on the record, right? I mean, it's not a podium. It's just giving us an update on practice that day. And this Thursday, someone asked him the question about the receiving core and how different it looks now compared to the beginning of the season. And Jeremy, his facial expression was basically, oh yeah, like it's way different now.
Right.
He even said, oh yeah, to say the least is what he said. Even he knows, like this has been, and he mentioned, he said, we put more speed on the field and it's starting to show. I think one of the best decisions the Bills have made this year was to put Josh Allen back in after he was healthy. There were a lot of people who said,
Just wait.
Just sit him. I know he waited the one extra week because of the bye when Barkley went in.
Yep.
But I'm talking about after that, they had the bye, and then they came back, and McDermott went in front of everybody, and he said, Josh Allen's our starting quarterback. And when he's healthy, he's our starting quarterback. And I'm looking back at that now. Can you imagine if he hasn't been playing?
Right.
Where would we be right now?
Right,
it would be stupid. What are we trying to analyze?
Well, where you might be right now is what? Watching Matt Barkley be moderately serviceable and have
is he a backup next year, right?
And have some fans yelling that maybe he's the guy for the future,
right.
Which, of course, you knew was never going to happen.
I'm really glad that they made that decision looking back now because, yeah, I thought it was the right decision at the time, But I certainly understood the argument the other way around. Let him sit. This was the plan. We're going to let him sit all year. Maybe he gets some more time. We don't want to get him more injured. How many people said that? You put him out there, he could still get injured. And look how much he's run. Look, the right decision was to put him back in, and now we have three games of a body of work, and hopefully three more, is provided he stays healthy. This is a valuable, valuable six games. If you go to WGR550.com, before every game, I write my three key storylines. The first one I put up today, Jeremy, was all about Allen again. And the way I phrased it was, every single snap right now is critical to how they evaluate who he is and where he needs to go in the offseason. These games he's playing are super important for him, and I'm glad that he's out there playing.
Me too. And, you know, if he's not, like you said, what other choice would there be? What, you know, if you were playing, I mean, at one point this season, Peterman was going to be the guy. If he were still on the team and serviceable, I mean, you could evaluate him as a backup. But, right, there really is no other choice. You had to play.
That's right.
You kind of had to, but you're right. You could have played it safe and decided not to. I also think with Allen, the Miami game, what's his high mark for the season? The Miami game, right? He was dynamic in that game. He was a playmaker.
Yeah.
He was good enough that at the end of it, Miami reporters and players are saying, like, man, that guy's pretty good. You know, that's always there's no higher compliment than what the opposition says about you. And sure, it's not often that a player is insulted by the opposition. Allen has been, by the way, by Jalen Ramsey and Jamal Adams.
Right.
It's not often that happens. But I think a really good test is at the end of the day, that guy played against you. He didn't beat you, but he made some plays, and your players are coming out of it saying, oh, the guy looked pretty good. You know, I think about Jack Eichel's rookie season and first few seasons where they'd play a game in Minnesota or something, and, you know, the announcers or the players would say, like, I mean, that guy's pretty good over there. That's a good indicator. I don't know if it's going to pan out for Allen, but he's earned some respect. I mean, he came into this league with plenty of people not wanting to respect him and not wanting to respect what he could do. Maybe myself included, like a little too low on what he could be in his first year. I was very nervous. And I think he has earned some, not just with, you know, the arm, but with he plays a style that it's not hard to kind of get behind. And that goes all the way back to jumping over a linebacker in week three. You know, like that happens, or he lowers his shoulder, or he – and anytime you're playing hero ball, which is what we call it sometimes, you play hero ball, there are going to be people that respect it. And that say, hey, he doesn't have a lot of help, but he's going out there and doing everything he can. So, you know, today would be a great day where if there were yards after the catch, if Isaiah McKenzie or Zay Jones can break a tackle and take 130 yards after the catch, you know, show some other players, the other players can give him some help. But at the same time, you know, if it's another day of hero ball, okay. I've been pleased enough to this point in his young career.
Well, you know, I've updated people on this stat every week since he came back. Average pass length, from line of scrimmage to target, the depth of target, Allen has been basically leading the league, and he still leads the league, but it has gone down after last week, but he's the only player in the league right now, the only passer, over 11. So the average target that he throws to is at least 11 yards downfield. That's on the average. But more importantly, now, because that doesn't mean anything unless you're completing the passes. But I think what's been impressive to me, and I've been watching the stat and monitoring it the last few weeks, is, Jeremy, he was near last in the league. He was near the bottom in average depth of completions only. If you just took everybody's completions in the league, which ones are further down the field? But then he creeped up to about number 20 in the league first game back. Then he creeped up to like 15th in the league. He's 7th in the league right now in average depth of just completions. So that just tells me, since he's come back, he's making more of those throws. He's making the most of them. He's way more efficient on those balls downfield. And that's opening up those other things you said. So I'm fine with, hey, dude, if you got 20 yards in front of you, why would you not take it? I mean, that's what football's about, right? I mean, get the first down if you can.
803-0550. Be sure to catch Sal all season long. He takes you behind the scenes on Bills Game Day with Sal's All Access Facebook Live on WGR's Facebook page. Brought to you by Lozy and Ganji, Buffalo's workers' comp attorneys working hard for hardworking Western New Yorkers. Buffalo Bills Game Day continues on the other side of this break. Join us, 803-0550, here on WGR and the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Back here on Buffalo Bills game day, Jeremy White and Sal Capaccio have a quick little announcement here. Was sent a little note, Sal. Some pretty cool news going on with the Buffalo Hall of Fame experience. Today, 10 a.m., they'll present Pancho Bila, official plaque for the Fan Wall of Fame as part of the BFLO, Buffalo Hall of Fame experience. So he's able to come in for the game today. Beyond excited. And they're going to do it at Danny's Restaurant in a heated large tailgate party. Chris Berman will also be calling him at 10 a.m. to congratulate him. So Pancho Bila to the Buffalo Hall of Fame experience, the Fan Wall of Fame.
Good for him.
Got to be good to be on the Fan Wall of Fame.
Good for him. I've gotten to know him a little bit over the last couple of years. I've seen him, his wife, at different games, whether it's here, on the road. And many people are familiar with his story. And he keeps fighting, man. He keeps fighting. And, you know, he addressed the football team in New Jersey when the Bills played the Jets there in November. And it was pretty powerful and emotional. If you haven't seen that video, check it out. NFL Network actually did a little bit on it. And it was, like I said, powerful and emotional. I think, we all know he's going through some tough times. It's hard. He's fighting. But he speaks for a lot of the way Bills fans feel about their football team.
Yeah, and one thing that you might not know, I didn't know this, a resident of Dallas, you know, see someone that's so crazy about the Bills, and I don't know, maybe it's just me, I think like, oh, well, it must be from, you know, like Lancaster, so they must be around here all the time. But to be that much of a fan from so far away, it kind of reminds you the way that, any fan base, but this one, it's great. Anytime you're far away from home, if you're in Dallas, you're in Miami, going to road games where there's a big Sabres or Bills contingent is so much fun. Last night in Washington, apparently, there were a ton of Sabre fans at that game. You could hear Let's Go Buffalo chants. So a resident of Dallas, congratulations to Pancho Bila and the Buffalo fan experience, Hall of Fame experience. It is a 501c3 with a board of directors comprised of representatives from three Buffalo Halls of Fame, the Greater Buffalo Sports Hall of Fame, the Buffalo Music Hall of Fame, and the Buffalo Broadcasters Association. So, cool thing going on. And, again, that's happening at Danny's at 10 a.m. this morning if you wanted to pop over and say hello and all that. We're getting you ready for kickoff between the Bills and Lions today. We'll get a break in. Get back your phone calls. Let's grade. Let's assess Josh Allen to this point. And how much can change in the next three games? That also, Tremaine Edmonds. We got to talk about the Bills' other first-round pick. No Matt Milano today. What does that mean for the Bills' rookie linebacker and the defense as a whole? It's the Buffalo Bills pregame show, Buffalo Bills game day here on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.